All right, I want to encourage you, if you are getting involved in our mower fund and you haven't put your blue card in, please, if you can, get it in tonight. You say, well, I don't have the money tonight. We're going to ask for the money tonight. We just ask for your commitment. And so we know what we're dealing with. We feel like we're going to have to be dealing with this probably this week. If you've noticed, some of you have, some of you haven't, the grass is growing. It's green again and it's coming. And I felt a little bad today. I was going to go home and cut my grass yesterday, and I got home and I felt so bad. I said, I'm just not going to do it. And so it'll wait till next week. Then when I went home today, as I pulled in, I noticed all my neighbors cut their grass. I'm the only one who didn't. Oh, well, it's that way. So if you can help us with that, if you have a blue card you haven't gotten in, get it in tonight, and then get the money in as soon as you can. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. We're not in a series right now, and to be honest with you, I'm really praying about where to go on the next series. God hasn't really cemented anything in my mind. I got 3 or 4 different things laying on my desk, and I'm looking at which direction. And, Sunday night, listen, look up here. Sunday night, we go a little deeper. We give you a little more meat. And we don't apologize for that. Because you're the Sunday night crowd. See, Paul talks about Christians. He says some need milk and some need meat. And the babes need milk. The stronger ones need meat. So we try to make sure you get some meat Sunday night, Wednesday night. Not that we don't give meat on Sunday morning. But a little different design on Sunday morning. And so just pray with me about where God wants us to go, what he wants us to see. But tonight, I was reading something, and this kind of jumped off at me. And I saw something here, and I said, you know, I think God wants me to bring something out of there. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, beginning with verse 8. You know, reading through the Bible, I'm in 1 Chronicles. I don't know where you are. 1 Chronicles, tough one. First few chapters, boy, oh boy, oh boy, pronouncing all those names. And hey, don't cheat and skip over them. Do your best. I have a Bible that helps you a little bit with pronunciation. Don't skip over them. Do your best. God put them there for a reason. But there are great truths in 1 Chronicles. And so tonight we're in chapter 14. Look at verse 8. It says, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. Now they weren't coming to congratulate him. How do you know? Read the next line. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And will thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, now that's the Philistines. Notice that's a small g. When they left their gods there, David gave a commandment and they were burned with fire. Boy, I like that. You know, if they were real powerful gods, they would have never let him burn them. You ever think about that? Well, he burned them with fire. And the Philistines, now watch this, yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. And God said unto him, go up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him. And they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all lands. And the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Let's pray. Lord, bless our time in your word again tonight. Thank you for all you show us, for the many truths. And Lord, thank you that we can't exhaust this book. As we read it, study it, we find things that we hadn't seen before. Because there's just so much here. Lord, we know your word is like peeling an onion. You get one through one layer, you get to the next. Thank you for that. And Lord, now, we're going to look at this chapter and we're going to see some things. We're going to make some application. I pray that you'd help us tonight. I pray that we'd be tender in our hearts toward you, sensitive, and allow you to speak to us like you want to, and then be obedient to you. We think of Brother Hamlin tonight, we're concerned. We think of Brother Gary Freeman tonight, we're concerned. We ask you to bless these men, help these men. In Jesus' name, amen. The ever-present enemy. The ever-present enemy. Now in Genesis 14, we find God dealing, stay with me, in Genesis 14, we find God dealing with a man called Abram. We know him as Abraham. And in that chapter, and beyond, we find God giving Abraham the eternal deed to the promised land. Do we need to look there? You okay with that? You understand? God said to Abraham, this is going to be your land forever. I'm going to give it to you. Then, as we read further in the history of the people of Abraham, we find the history being recorded for us and given to us here. We find out they ended up down in Egypt for 400 years. And then God came along with Moses and set him free. He brought him miraculously out of Egypt. And he's fixing to take him over to that promised land. But we find out they rebelled against him. They lacked in their faith. The spies said, we can't do it. And God said, you know, because of your lack of faith, because of your unwillingness to obey me, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Till every man 20 years of age and older who was alive when that happened is dead. You're not going to see the promised land. Next generation will. And so they wander around 40 years and we read about it. Out in the wilderness. And then we get over to the book of Joshua and we find about Jericho. Now God says, after 40 years, you can enter the promised land. Joshua, time to go over. Moses, you're not going. And God wouldn't let my poor Moses. But he said, all right, Joshua, it's time to go over. And God parted that river and they went over there and they camped there by Jericho and they walked around the city. We know all the stories. And they ended up taking the promised land. Now they possess it. And we get into the book of Judges and we find that for 400 years, you know, God was their king and they went into that cycle of sin and how they'd sin and then they'd get in trouble and they'd be oppressed and then God would deliver them and they'd go back into sin. We read all about that. Then we get to the end of the Judges and we find out Samuel comes along. He's the last judge. And the people clamor now because now they want a king like everybody else. You know, God didn't always intend for his people to have what everybody else has. Many times you're a lot better off without it. And they would have been. But God said, all right, you want a king? I'll give you a king. He gave him Saul. Well, we know how that went. Saul sinned, lost the kingdom. And God said, I have another man, a man after mine own heart. And we find David. They enter the promised land. Not the happy ending of the story. We see them in Judges. Not the happy ending of the story. But the setting of the text for tonight, we've moved all the way through that history to David. Now Saul's dead. David has become king. Watch. David has become king, but not over all of Israel. See, at first, for the first 7 years, David was only king over Judah. Israel wouldn't accept him. What do you mean, Israel? The rest of the tribes. So David ruled Judah. Now 7 years later, Israel gets the idea, hey, this guy's the guy we need. And so they coronate him. Israel comes and Judah comes and they're one under David. And the Philistines heard about it. In the meantime, we read that David brought the Ark of God back to the city. You know, it had been over there I can't think of the name of the place, Shiloh. It had been over in Shiloh, and then they sought to bring it to the city. Remember, Uzzah put his hand on the cart? That put the kibosh to that for a little while. But now they brought it back to the city, and it's in a tent in the city. David didn't allow him to build a house of God. But now we read in verse 8 here, David's been coronated, and the Philistines here. Now, this is a setting I wanted you to understand for what we're about to deal with. The news comes to the Philistines. And I want to focus for a little while tonight on this enemy of Israel. We know them as the Philistines. You know, it's interesting if you'll read, all during David's reign and beyond, these Philistines were a thorn in their flesh. They were the arch enemy. They were the most ardent enemy of Israel. Why, even before David became king, remember, Goliath was the champion of Philistines. What I want you to understand is, Israel's battle with Israel wasn't just one battle. It was an ongoing thing, constant. They didn't just fight one battle. They had this constant foe. And you know, as we read, we find that sometimes Israel won the battles and sometimes they lost. That's how they lost the Ark of God. They lost the battle to the Philistines. But see, as we read, we find out when the Philistines got defeated, they didn't just slink away and go away. They came back to fight another day. Now, I said all that, I brought all that, because tonight I want to use the Philistines to picture an enemy that is to us what the Philistines were to Israel. Tonight, I want to liken temptation to the Philistines and us to the Israelites. And I want you to understand, just like they fought a constant battle against these Philistines, that they didn't go away, it just continued and continued. They won some, they lost some. So our battle never goes away. Amen. And so we want to talk about this enemy of temptation. I just want to share some things with you about temptation that we can kind of pick out of these Philistines. Big point number one. Temptation is a relentless foe. A relentless foe. Notice in our text something here. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And then we get down here, and it's when he defeated them the first time, and it says, verse 13, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. They were relentless. They come and they attack him when he becomes king and he defeats them. But here they come again. By the way, I don't believe he just beat them. I think he beat them pretty good when he took their gods and everything. They had been soundly defeated, but they weren't going to quit. They were just relentless in their attacks. And see, I want you to understand, temptation is our enemy is the same way. Temptation don't just... Number one, temptation is common to all of us. We know that. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We all have temptation. We may have different ones, but we have temptation. It's an enemy. And he's there trying to defeat us. He wants to win the battle. He wants us to go his way. Now, he's ever present. And what I mean by that is, listen, because you beat him once doesn't mean he goes away. Because you got a victory one time doesn't mean that the victory is going to last. You may have to fight another battle. Temptation don't give up easily. See, we might win the battle today, but then tomorrow, here we are again. Here it's back. Here we go again. Somebody said, we may defeat a temptation and be rid of it for a while, but it will be back to work on us again and again. We need to recognize that and anticipate it. Too many Christians get lulled into this false sense of security. Well, you know, I took care of that. I took care of this. I took care of that. Listen, don't get falsely secure. Understand that temptation can crop up any time. Now, praise the Lord, sometimes there are battles we win and we win the battle. We defeat the foe. And Israel had some of those kind of foes that they defeated once. That was it. But the Philistines weren't like that. Listen, there have been some battles in my life I basically won. Illustration, and I'm not proud of this, but I used tobacco before I got saved. I was of the world's attitude. Hey, it's my body. I can do whatever I want with it. Don't tell me what to do and what not to do. Blah, 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 blah. You know how the world is. But I got saved. And I fought the battle. God gave me the victory. God gave me the victory. And the fact is, now I have no temptation for tobacco. I don't want to smoke it. I don't want to chew it. I don't want to dip it. I don't want to be around it. It just doesn't interest me. Matter of fact, it kind of rebels me. Repulses me. But see, there are some other things that I have to battle with every day. I won the battle yesterday, but it's back again today. For instance, what I look at. You with me? See, yesterday, okay, God helped me, and I won the battle. I didn't look at stuff that I wasn't supposed to look at. You know, I turned my head, and those kind of things, or I didn't look at that book, or whatever it was, or I stayed away on the computer, whatever it might be. But it's here again today. I got to fight the battle again today. And there are all kind of areas we could cite. I just want you to understand, temptation is a relentless foe. It's a battle all the time. Number two, temptation is a prolific foe. That means there's lots of it. Look at our text. It says, and the Philistines came and, look at the wording, spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. You know what they did? They came out there and they spread themselves out. One of the reasons was to look like more than what they were. But not only that, they wanted Israel to see how many they were to intimidate. And let's face it, there were a lot of them. What they did was they came into that valley and they filled up as much space as they possibly could so that everywhere Israel looked, there they were. The Israelites looked down in there. Oh, they're over here. Oh, they're over there. Oh, they're over there. And you know, temptation is that way to us. Temptation's everywhere. I wish sometimes I could close myself up in a little box where there was no temptation. Wouldn't that be great? Or maybe somebody would invent this little anti-temptation bubble. We can go to the Christian store and buy this anti-temptation bubble and enter into it and close the door and temptation can't get in. It's not going to happen. And no matter where we go, no matter what we're doing, he'll crop his wicked head up. Listen, even in the most innocent things, he tried. Have you ever been praying and all of a sudden something enters your mind that shouldn't be there? And you got to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Even in church, Temptation comes in the church house. Yeah. That's why a lot of people, too many people get in trouble in church. How many times have I heard of preachers getting in trouble with immorality and deacons getting in trouble with immorality, church members getting in trouble with immorality? Why? Temptation came in the church. Listen, don't think because you come to church that everything's just hunky-dory. You don't let your guard down. No, a thousand times no. You know, pride comes in the church. Temptation through pride. Well, he should have never said that about you. I should have had this. They should have done this. Blah, 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 blah. It's everywhere. So number one, we need to recognize temptation. It's a relentless foe. It's a prolific foe. And I thought to myself, it's a pretty devious foe. Temptation don't play fair. You notice that? Look down, it says there, and the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephidim. I said how they spread themselves abroad. And again, it has this idea down there in verse 13. They came the second time. Now, they already got whipped. They came back, and they spread themselves again in the valley. The valley of Rephidim. And they give that appearance to be greater in number. They sought to deceive and intimidate. And they sought to hide the real facts, the truth. I couldn't help but think, isn't that what temptation does? Try to hide the real facts? The truth? When's the last time you saw an advertisement for alcohol that said, drink this beer and you end up in a wonderful automobile accident and kill somebody? But how many times does that happen? Just read about that fella hit those two women over there on Airport Road the other day. I mean, one case, it was gruesome. That fella didn't even know he hit anybody, he said. He was so drunk. On and on we could go with how he doesn't play fair, and he talks about the rosy picture of sin. And he never tells about the other side of it. And we know sin appeals to our flesh. And temptation uses that. It likes to emphasize the positive aspects of you giving in. Temptation comes along and says, hey, just give in. You'll get ahead in your job. Just do what the boss told you to do. Yes, it's against the Bible. Yes, it's wrong. Yes, it's illegal. Whatever it might be. You got to lie some. You got to cheat some. But you'll get ahead. That's what temptation tells us. It doesn't tell us when we get caught, we're going to go to jail and get fired and all those things that happen. It says give in to the peer pressure. You'll be popular. When your friends want you to, I know you go to church and you're a Bible believer. Listen, one drink isn't going to hurt anybody. Oh, yeah? Tells our young people, just give in, give your body. Everybody's doing it. You'll be liked. You'll be very popular. Yeah? He says, listen, just give in. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to find out. You'll have all this fun. You're going to have all this pleasure. Nobody's going to know about it. He always shows the positive side. He doesn't show you that when it is found out. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. He doesn't show you the tears and the heartache and the grief. Oh, just give in. You'll experience pleasures you never experienced before. Yeah, right. And you know, he loves to do the work here and work on us. He says everybody's doing it. He says, he's working here. He says, you're weird if you don't. How many of you have ever been called weird or odd or whatever because you don't? That's what it is. And that's him, temptation, saying, hey, you don't want to be the weird one. Says, how about this one? Temptation comes along. I love this one. I was actually working on a message. I never completed it. Something to do with the lie of a little won't hurt you. But that's what temptation tells you. That little bit isn't going to hurt you. You can have just a little bit. It's not any big deal. How much poison do you need to understand it's going to hurt you? Temptation says, hey, here's the cry of the world. Well, you know, preacher, everything in moderation. Have you ever heard that? I hear it all the time. I don't believe in drinking liquor. Well, preacher, everything in moderation. And that's when I come back with that, well, you want to be in moderation here, I'll give you a little bit of poison. That's just in moderation. But see, people try to justify. And that's temptation gives us these. Temptation says you deserve what it's offering. Temptation says it's okay to steal from other people because they have more than you and you deserve to have more. By the way, I don't know about you, but I'm just amazed at the number of articles I see in the newspaper about people shoplifting. But you know, it used to be a kid would stuff a candy bar in his pocket, or you know, somebody would steal somebody. Man, they load up the cart. I mean, $2,000 worth of stuff, and they just walk out the door. See, temptation says, you'll get away with it. My wife and I came out of the Walmart a few weeks ago. We were coming out of the parking lot there, and they're across at the Burger King parking lot. They had a car pulled over, the police did, with the lights going, you know, and they're unloading the car. From one of these incidents, somebody loaded up the car, pushed it out there, put it in the car, and took off. But see, temptation says, it's okay to do that. You know, that store has insurance in it, and he just lies all these things to you. By the way, it's temptation that says it's okay to break your marriage vows because you deserve to be happy and satisfied. Find that for me in the Bible. Temptation. See, here's the truth of fact, and you probably picked up on this already. Temptation is Satan's salesman. Yeah, that's what temptation is. He's pushing Satan's agenda. Temptation's purpose is to draw us, to entice us, to bring us into the snare or the trap of the evil one. Temptation presents that bait to us. Like a fish, and I used that illustration a couple of weeks ago, the hook and the fish. And you know, that bait looks so good, and that poor fish, he says, oh, that looks really good, and I'm hungry, I'm whoop. And then the hook. That's how Satan plays. But see, temptation baits the hook. Temptation is a draw. It's a salesman. And then we need to understand this about temptation. It's diabolical. You say, what are you talking about? Look back here again. It says in verse 8 or 9, the Philistines came and spread themselves, now watch, in the valley of Rephaim. We get down to verse 13, and the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Now, I'm not trying to, you know, add to Scripture or anything, but I thought about, okay, we have mountaintop, we have valley. In our Christian life, we have mountaintop, we have valley. And interesting, these enemies set up in the valley, the low spot. And I thought about this. Isn't it so devious and diabolical of temptation to come at us when we are at low spots in our life? You know, that's when temptation is the worst. We're down in the valley somewhere, and here comes temptation along. The valley is a sign of the weak spot. We often say, hey, it's wonderful to be in the mountaintop, but you can't live on the mountaintop. You live in the valley. And the valley is where we live. And the valley is often the low points in our life. And listen, temptation is just so diabolical that when we're in that low spot, when we don't need any more temptation, here he comes. Our times of doubt, our times of despair, our times of depression, our weakest times. Times when our resistance is the lowest. Those are the times we're tempted to give up. And those are the times we're tempted to give in. Temptation says give in and you'll come out of the valley. When we're down in that low spot, temptation says, listen, quit living for the Lord and all this will straighten out. Temptation says, listen, quit trying to do so right. You know, you're always trying to do right. Quit trying to do the right thing. And you'll get out of this mess. Quit being honest and having integrity. You're not going to get anywhere that way. You didn't get that job promotion because you were too honest. You lost out on this or that or the next thing because you had integrity. You wouldn't do wrong to get it. Just give in. Just go that direction. Everything will be, you get back up on the mountaintop. Temptation says you're missing all the fun. We need to be on guard about this enemy. He keeps coming around. He don't give up. He's fighting us all the time in different ways and different methods. And we need to understand. We need to look at his methods. We need to understand his methods. Listen, don't let him take advantage of your valley. How many of you have ever been in a spiritual valley? Yeah, we've been there. And I hope it don't happen, but you could well then be there again. You just get to feeling like God don't love you anymore. Or maybe, you know, he loves you, but he's just not listening to you. I said to somebody recently, it's kind of like we want to say, I'm over here. Oh, remember me? Yeah, he remembers us. But we get in that valley, and that's how we feel. And we start thinking, maybe I should just give in. Maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should just back away from all this. Listen, that's when we need to really, as we would say, suck it up and say, I'm going to tough this out. I'm not going to let him beat me in the valley. One more thing. We've seen temptation here and we've seen, oh, he's a foe and all that. But I want you to understand this. He's a defeatable foe. I like when I read here, boy, the Philistines kept coming back and coming back, but God kept giving the victory. David went out the first time. He said, God, should I go against them? God said, you go, I'm going to give you the victory. He went and he whooped them. I like it. But it wasn't long till they were back again. He said, good night, I just whipped them. So David did the right thing. He went back to the Lord. God, what should I do? Should I go against him? Yeah, you go against him, but here's how you do it. And God even gave him the battle plan. He said, you kind of go over there in the mulberry trees and you stand still and wait. And when you hear that sound of the wind up in them mulberry trees, you know I'm there. That's what he did. I'm glad that this story gives us the end of the victory through God's leadership. And see, that's what we need. When we're facing temptation, we need to go to the Lord. We need to not try to fight the battle and win the battle on our own. Because when we do, we're going to lose. We need to be careful about fighting the battle and winning the battle through him. And you know, God promises victory. Go over to 1 Corinthians 10. You know where it's at. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. You know, James, go over to James for a minute. Something James says here. Let me find it here. Verse chapter 2, I believe it is. Well, I'm having trouble finding it. He says we're drawn away of our own lust. Help me, Pastor Meyer. I thought it was in chapter 4. Yes? No? When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth death. I'm sorry? 1:14. Okay. There we go. He's talking about temptation. He said, blessed is the man in verse 12 that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised, and I love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. So, in the earlier part, the temptations talk about, I believe, are testings. Now he comes to this part, I believe it's temptation to sin. Because he references there that God will not tempt anyone to do evil. Neither tempt he any man. But look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He's talking about the results of temptation, and we submit to temptation because of our own lust, in our own weakness, in our own flesh. That's why when temptation comes, we need to flee to him. God help me. God deliver me. God give me power. God help me to overcome this. God help me to stand against this. I need you. I think too many times we try to resist temptation on our own. I think too many times we fail. Yeah. And listen, temptation is an awful foe. He's always there. Always working on us. But he's defeatable. We can have the victory through him. 1 Corinthians, go over there. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There it is. There is the way of victory for God's people. Okay, let me wrap it up. We started with looking at this thing with the Israelites and the Philistines, and we said the Israelites are like us, the Philistines are like temptation and constant battle there. Constant battle. Always. And they wouldn't just go away. They just kept coming back. And sometimes the Philistines won. And you know, when the Philistines won, usually it was because the Israelites weren't right with God. Huh? They'd get right with God and then they'd go get a victory. But the victory had to be in the Lord. And that's where we are. So to button it together tonight, listen, you face temptation. I face temptation. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, there are temptations that come your way. We have to battle them. We have to fight. But our victory is only going to come through Him. And so we need to flee to Him. God help me. Got it? Let's bow our heads.